Thor Tripp.
I like all those guys. I don't necessarily know if I love any of them.
Thor Tripp.
It's reminiscent of Bubba Watson.
Thor Tripp.
It's kind of a boring answer.
Yeah.
Thor Tripp.
But I'm certainly one of the bandwagon media members.
All right, what's perfect about that intro is, you know, Thor, you have a line in there that says that I like a lot of those guys. I don't know if I love any of them. And
yeah,
that would be how I feel about the running backs that we saw on Saturday for the spring game. I like Jalen Bradley. I like Wyatt Mazur, Brody Belt. I like them. I'm not sure I love any of those guys. How do you see, I guess, so let's start there. How do you see those three? Because ultimately, let's start the conversation there, because I want to talk a lot of running backs with you. How did you see those three on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think I originally said that line talking about my high school girlfriend, but I'm not sure if, you know, that really applies to anything or not. But, yeah, I think just watching those guys, I will say that having watched Jalen Bradley in high school, I think I have a little bit more background in terms of what I can expect from him.
Yep.
Which is a little bit more. And he had some, you know, some personal stuff going on, you know, last year where he kind of, you know, as a freshman came in and he really was impressive, I think, for, like, with Mike Riley's offense and being a young guy and being in shape and in tune with everything going on. And then last year, you know, had some off-the-field stuff going on that kind of hurt his, I think, his commitment as well, along with other things. So the big part of it was just kind of, you know, getting back mentally to be able to kind of do his thing this year. And I think you've seen that in the spring. He's kind of using this time to be like, okay, let's see what we can do and make this work. And obviously so far it's been going well.
Yeah. Overall though, I guess, how do you see the running back spot? You're probably a little, I mean, again, it's one of those things, I like Bradley. I'm not anti-Bradley. I just think for this offense to click, man, you need a real guy there. And I think Maurice Washington's a real guy, but we don't know his status. I guess just in general, you're like, are you concerned about the running back spot going off of what we know at this point?
I mean, I am. I am concerned about it mostly for the fact of, like, durability during the year.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
We saw,
okay,
Maurice Washington last year coming in, and, you know, he's an electric guy, but he only got so many carries per game, and even in those carries, he was getting banged up. And so I think your biggest concern there is just, okay, number one, can you get enough talent on the field to make it happen? But number two, can those guys stay healthy while they're doing it? So that's a huge part of the equation, and I think When you think about just being able to bring three new guys in and that kind of depth, you know, that's going to be really important because they're going to have to make. Well, my son Red is disappointed in the depth, but they're going to have to make the strides, because otherwise, if they don't do it right away, you know, improve themselves, it's going to be tough to trust those guys, and you're going to have to rely on guys like Wyatt Mazur who have proven themselves but maybe don't have that top level talent.
Thor, for me, I mean, I'd imagine you kind of vibe with me. I don't get as much caught up in stats in the spring game as I do just kind of how something looks or how someone looks. And I thought overall, I felt pretty good about what we saw from every one of the quarterbacks that played, from Martinez to Luke McCaffrey. Boy, I tell you what, Thor, it's been a while since I felt as good as I do right now about that quarterback room, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Luke McCaffrey that's really exciting is just the pure speed. And, like, we've seen what speed does in this offense. And also, you know, for me, just going to practices and things like that during the course of the spring practice was, like, you know, his command of the offense was really good for a guy who's coming in as an early enrollee. I mean, you don't see guys come in and make that kind of impact and have that kind of control where you're making calls, you know, in your first month with the offense, really. And so when you think about that part of it, that's what makes me really excited. And honestly, Coach Frost talked after the game and said that he's going to keep that backup competition open throughout fall camp.
Right.
You know, honestly, I don't think that there's any reason that Christian McCaffrey couldn't be the number two quarterback, you know, on this depth chart. Now, in reality, when they list it out, you're going to want a redshirt. Mm-hmm. You're going to redshirt Luke. So if Luke is the number two guy and you're sitting there, you're like, okay, I'm going to redshirt him, then that's great. And then you can put him as number three and Noah is your number two guy and you just let it go. But if something happens in the first game of the season, then maybe that, you know, that changes things going forward for the year. So I'll be curious to see kind of how they handle things. But I think long-term with this team, you know, Luke has a lot to offer and be excited about, even as Adrian moves on after what we hope will be an incredible career.
Thor, when you try and take a step back and think about how you viewed this defense coming out of the Iowa game, so at the conclusion of the season, to where you are now with them, is there a specific position, a specific player, or is it just kind of all of the above that has you feeling a little bit better, or do you kind of feel the same about that unit?
Yeah, you know, I think I feel very similar in a lot of positions, but I think the addition of Darian Daniels on the defensive line really stands out to me as a guy who can just come in and just, like, move bodies around. Like, he just, you know, I mean, it's been a long time now since we've seen this, but, man, when Ndamukong Suh was in there, and now you're talking about a number one, you know, caliber draft pick overall, but when he was in there, I mean, that defense was different because, number one, he might not get the sacks himself, but number two, he opened up a ton of holes. You know, I remember that Baylor game where Jared Krentz had like five sacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were just like double and triple teaming Suh. And now, granted, Jared Krentz is an NFL caliber player too.
Right.
But you still have the problems that causes. And I think with the improved depth and skill of some of those defensive linemen, I think you're looking at a much different group overall when you say, hey, look at the depth, look at the strength and size. The Davis twins have gotten bigger. Damian Daniels, you know, Darian's little brother has gotten a lot better and bigger. So I think that's something where you're like, okay, look at this group. We can plug guys in. And they've talked about what's your max rep, you know, before you need to come out. And some of these guys are at 3, 4, or 5 reps. And Darian was at like 6 already. So he's a guy who can be in there a little bit longer and stay fresh enough to be, you know, impactful over the course of a drive for a majority of it. So
right.
It's going to be really fun to watch how that group kind of comes together and whether they're a little bit more aggressive maybe this year than they have been in the past.
Thor Tripp, KTV Sports. You know, maybe as the season nears, there'll be an increase in expectation level from people locally. But right now, it feels quiet. In a good way, but for you, when you've been around the team, what kind of confidence level do you get from the group in terms of how they see themselves moving into next year?
I mean, I think they feel really good. I think they understand that this is, you know, when Muhammad Berry says after the game that, you know, we want to be in Indianapolis, we want to be, you know, playing for a Big Ten championship, a national championship. I don't think he actually believes that it's just lip service or something. That's what he wants. And that, you know, when you see steady improvement in terms of strength and just understanding of a defense, now finally having the same coordinator and staff and scheme for 2 years in a row, it's the first time he's had that. So when you think about those factors, I think it gives you a lot of confidence. And, you know, they see a lot of things in practice that we don't see.
Right.
And obviously they were high on this group last year, but they were also suffering expectations last year, you know, as a coaching staff and everything in the offseason. And so this year feels like a team that can get back to that 9-win caliber, you know, in terms of what their expectation level is moving forward. And I think anytime you have a group, you know, that you think can win 9 games, you know, you look at what Northwestern did last year, you know, nobody thought that Northwestern was lighting the world on fire, and here they are in the Big Ten championship and playing well. So I think for this group to be feeling that way, I think it's legit, and I do think that they'll make a lot of improvement this year on the field as a result of that confidence.
There's an announcement via Twitter that Caleb Lightbourne has entered the transfer portal and will transfer. I mean, I think, you know, ultimately, he's had an interesting career. He got thrown in the fire after the tragic death of Sam Foltz, which was hard for him. And then he kind of recovered the second year. And then you could tell a guy, he just looked like he lost confidence to me. I don't know how you saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, like, for all the negative comments and, you know, results under Bob Diaco, the one really overwhelmingly positive part of his time in Nebraska was Caleb Lightbourne. I mean, Lightbourne was tremendous under his tutelage. He was consistent. He showcased that, you know, massive leg that we had heard about. And honestly, we just didn't see it before or after that. You know, the freshman year coming in, I mean, it's a different deal. I think realistically, nobody was expecting a ton from him. Maybe not a negative yardage punt, but for the most part, like, people were expecting him to be a world beater in year one. But I think in year three, when, you know, you can't beat a walk-on for your spot and you're kicking off because of your leg.
Yep.
You know, it just feels like it, you know, he just kind of lost touch a little bit. And so for him to get a fresh start, I think he'll do great somewhere else if he can just mentally get over that hurdle and just say, hey, let's just let it go. I got nothing to lose. Let's go. And hopefully that'll work out, you know, best for both him and for
Get you out on this one, Thor. Appreciate your time. I think obviously because of Stanley Morgan's departure and then the fact that no Wandale Robinson, no J.D. Spielman in the spring game, a lot of people are excited to see what the wide receiver spot would look like as well. Anybody stand out to you? What jumped out at you when you looked at that group as well?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, in terms of results and production, I think Jerron Woodyard was a guy who has stood out. He's been a guy who's kind of been thrown around, you know, maybe behind Andre Hunt, you know, in terms of like the buzzy receivers coming out of spring. But I think, honestly, the most encouraging thing you saw was the production from the tight end position. You know, Austin Allen was tremendous. And, you know, you saw, like, Katerian Legrone get in the mix and you know, be targeted in the red zone. And those are the kinds of things that are going to make up for some of that Stanley Morgan production, because you're obviously not going to be able to, you know, replicate exactly what he does downfield. So if you can't get open downfield, you still run that same pattern. But now it's not that tough if you try to find the tight end that's open instead. And so that's the biggest thing is, like, those routes, you can still run your same route combination. You can run those drags across the field. But maybe whoever, you know, is replacing Stan at that time isn't open. And then you go to your tight end who's, you know, by the way, 6'8", and is making plays now. So to see them kind of establish a little more depth and consistency this spring with Jack Stoll out, with injury is great, because we've seen what Jack can do when he's in the mix. He's been really athletic and really consistent. So I think that's going to be fun to watch as that tight end position progresses, just because they're going to need to replace those wide receiver yards somewhere.
Right.
And tight end's a way that they can definitely do it.
Thor Tripp, KTV Sports. Thor, get back to that kid of yours, all right?
Man, I got to track him around. He's got like 6 Nutrigain bars over the course
yes.
of the year to keep him quiet.
Yes.
Just like, he just... to celebrate and punctuate the interview, dumped one of them on his mom's, like, fuzzy white office chair.
Perfect. Perfect. Just crumbs
so we'll
everywhere.
We'll
and yeah.
Up.
All right.
Yeah.
Leave your mark.
That's right. Got to make your mark. That's right.
Thanks, Thor.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Thor Tripp, KETV Sports. All right. Good stuff with Thor. You know what? We're wide open for pretty much the next hour. So you can hit me up. Lot of space for you. Can email Equitable Bank Zone Inbox, nick@1620thezone.com. You can hit me on Twitter @NickBaugh, 402-951-1620. Game time.